We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio.com sports station.
Man, the Chris Bryant slander, I find it to be unbelievable. He's not clutch. And even when you're presented with the fact that he is, you still will just deny it. Look at what he does against the Cardinals. Really? Because that's the value of a player. That's how you judge a player, what he does against the Cardinals. Unbelievable. I am flabbergasted by the lack of respect for that man's career. You have a player that's been here 5 years, that's averaged a 5 WAR every season, that's been a plus 900 OPS for his entire damn career.
That's fine. Keep disrespecting him. We'll like him nice on the south side. Keep disrespecting him.
I'm trying to tell you, Tony. If you don't like him, send him over to the south side. We can find a place for him to play.
His python named Uribe is more than welcome.
His rock named Stoney says that he is going to be a White Sox. All right, let's talk about the Bulls. The Bulls with a win last night against the Knicks. Coby White went off in the fourth quarter. It was a record-breaking performance by him, and he had old Roy in the crowd yesterday. It was good to see the young man go off. I enjoy listening to this old man go off whenever he is on the radio station. Joe Cowley joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You can find 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. What's up, Mr. Cowley?
Ladies love. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing well. What was it like to see Kobe go off last night?
Well, I get to watch it on TV. It gave me a little breather yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, you know, this guy is a volume scorer, and I still don't know how you can define him, what he will be. I'm actually writing about him today, and just kind of his big picture type thing. And, you know, I mean, not that he is James Harden by any means, and that's not the comparison, but the role will be very James Harden-esque, what James Harden was the first 3 years with OKC, where he came off the bench as that combo guard and with the hope that he would develop into a point guard. And I think that's what the Bulls, that's the path they are hoping for, that they continue to use him as a volume scorer off the bench. And he, you know, he's not a point guard right now. He was drafted as a point guard. That was a big lie. And obviously I know your point guard first and foremost has to score, but your point guard also has to playmate. And you look right now, I think five of the top six scorers in the NBA right now are point guards. And those five are also in the top 12 to 13 in assists. So, you know, Coby White is not that. But what he is a guy that can be a combo guard off the bench and eventually learn how to be a point guard. And I think that's what the Bulls are hoping for. Just let him do his thing right now, and eventually, hopefully, he'll learn playmaking and understanding assists and passing and things like that that probably are pretty pertinent to a point guard.
Coming into the game, he was struggling quite a bit offensively. What were the Bulls saying about why he was struggling?
Well, I think the whole team was struggling, and it wasn't because they weren't getting open looks. They just, you know, bad shooting is contagious, just like good shooting is contagious. So it was just a matter of him finding his stroke and being confident with it, staying with it. And that's team-wide right now. I mean, you could go right down the list of guys that are struggling with shots. And the percentages aren't that off. Lowry is obviously the big outlier right now, where that one is off from his career path. But they're getting wide-open looks, and that's the concerning thing, is they are getting wide-open looks, and they're just having a lot of misses. So you also have to look at the opponent. I mean, if you're getting excited that they did this against New York, you got to really recheck yourself, because that's a bad New York team that's spiraling, that has a lot of, you know, things going on around it, a lot of clouds hanging over it. So I wouldn't, you know, it's nice to see for a rook, but I don't get too excited that, yeah, he beat up a bad New York team in the fourth quarter.
Joe Cowley joining me here on The Score. You can follow him on Twitter at @SunTimes_Hoops. How am I supposed to look at Lauri Markkanen's development? Because I've been a tad underwhelmed with how he's played.
Oh, you should look at it very concerned right now, because year three was the jump. Year three was how they built this whole roster. It was going to be Zach and Lauri, where on paper, those two skill sets, and they even acknowledged this when I asked Lauri about it last week and asked Zach about it, the two skill sets should be ideal. Pick and pop, pick and roll. You got a playmaker who's dynamic taking the ball to the rim. You got Lauri who is athletic enough to take it to the rim. Obviously, has underrated ball skills, and then obviously has a nice stroke. So on paper, it should be a deadly duo, and instead it's just clanky and not working and a real head-scratcher. And, you know, I think the thing with Lauri is, you know, he mentioned, well, you know, since we were talking about goalies from Finland, and he was just talking about how they're ideal in hockey because we don't get emotional. Well, I want you to get emotional. I want, you know, that's fine for hockey. I don't want you to be a damn goalie. I want you to be a stretch four who cares and who gets emotional and who starts playing with a little more urgency. This late back crap in year three isn't really cutting it. And this is a guy that they deemed untouchable at trade time last year and a piece that they built the offseason around. I mean, they had money to go out and try getting a bigger name guy, but it would have been a one-ticket item. Instead, they said, let's get guys that will elevate Lowry's game, will elevate Zach's game, and they went and got Santoransky, and they went and got Thad Young. And those games aren't elevated. So, yeah, it's real concerning because these were the two pillars that year three the rebuild was centered on, and one of the pillars doesn't seem like he gives a damn. The other one seems like he's kind of inconsistent. So this is all about 2021 and that summer of 2021 and saying to a free agent, a big-name free agent, look what we have in place already. Look what you're joining. You can't do that right now and be excited. So, yeah, it's very concerning.
What do you think of Jim Boylan?
I think Jim Boylan is a motivator. I put him in the same fabric that I put a Mark Jackson, a Steve Kerr, guys like that where, you know, you don't, it's not so much about the X and O's. It's more about establishing a culture and having great assistant coaches around them. And I think, you know, Steve Kerr's had the benefit of having Ron Adams next to him, who's an elite bench coach. And I think Jim needs strong assistants around him. But I think Jim is really great at trying to establish a culture. I think Jim is a coach where you could put him at a linebacker crew in the NFL or at an NBA team, and you really couldn't tell the difference. And I don't know if that's what people want to hear that are supporting a basketball team. But that's what he is. He's a coach. And so, you know, when it comes to X's and O's, I have yet to be blown away with his X's and O's. I think he, because of the defense, you know, he was brought in here as a defensive-minded first type guy, and the defense since he's come here has yet to establish a single philosophy. So that's why I say that. And you know, so, you know, to me, that he falls in that fabric of those coaches that are like that Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr, where they're really good as far as establishing a culture and getting guys amped and that kind of stuff. I just don't know what kind of X and O he is yet. We will find that out this year.
Does the front office feel like they have a good gauge on what he's good at and what he's not good at?
Yeah, and I think that's why they added assistants that they feel very comfortable with from an X and O standpoint this offseason. I think, you know, Fleming, I mean, that's his rep, is taking offenses and being, you know, modern with his offenses, but yet, you know, things that Jim likes as far as, you know, kicking the ball to the post and still having that post game. They've gone away with that. They've gone away from that a little bit more than I thought they would this year. But I get it. I get what they're trying to do. I don't know if it'll work with this group. I mean, to me, you're trying to, you know, stuff a square peg into a round hole. I don't think the 3-point shooting is good enough to play this style and be effective. And it's funny, all these people are excited. Oh, look at all the threes they're putting up, and look at the numbers, and look how they compare to, you know, they're in the upper, you know, top 10 in 3-point attempts. That's great. If you're making them, you know, everyone's all three is more than two, but guess what? Two is more than zero. last time I looked. And the goal is not to be up there in three-point attempts. It's to win games. So all these stats nerds that are getting all excited about Bulls basketball because they're putting up a lot of threes, I just look at the standings, and that doesn't excite me. So, you know, I do believe they feel he is exactly as I described. He is a culture changer first and foremost. He is a guy that will instill some toughness in a relatively soft roster. And you need assistance around him that can handle the X's and O's. And I think that's what they've kind of built this offseason.
Joe, I get excited about some of the small stuff because obviously the big picture stuff is so scary when it comes to the Bulls not being a competitive team in the Eastern Conference. Am I getting too excited about the maturity that seems to be oozing off of Wendell Carter Jr.?
No, that's probably one of the storylines that's probably the sneaky good, is that this kid at the age of 20 recognizes there's not a lot of leadership in that locker room and there's not a lot of culture of winning in that locker room with the two guys that are supposed to be the pillars. And coming from Duke and not losing a lot of games, he is not taking this very very just kind of nonchalant. He's getting angry with the losing. You know, it's hard to do when you only play 44 games as a rookie. But we saw that last year. We saw that before he got hurt, that he was getting pissed off about some of the losing that was going on. And then he gets hurt, so, you know, you can't really – you're just worried about your rehab at that point. You really can't be that voice when you're hurt. So to see him kind of pick up where he left off last year and take it a step further and say, you know, and be that, hey, you know, Bobby Portis, you ain't coming in and doing what you did last week in New York, where other guys seem to just be very, you know, whatever. That's a sneaky good storyline, that finally there is a starter that is emerging as a voice and maybe a strong voice that plays with physicality, that is not afraid, that kind of has a fearless mentality to him. So, no, you can go ahead and be excited about that. I don't know if that's the centerpiece right now, but maybe moving forward, maybe they have to redo this thing and say, okay, maybe the rebuild involves a guy like Kobe White and Wendell Carter. Maybe we tab the two wrong guys for this rebuild. So, you know, and that, you can always, it's fluid, so you can always make that pivot if you're your Bulls front office.
To go back to Markkanen real quick, what am I then looking for? If I'm a Bulls fan that's sitting in front of the TV tomorrow watching the Bulls play, what am I looking for from him on a nightly basis that's going to give me a better appreciation of what type of growth he's making?
Oh, February of last year is him at his best. Aggressive. Get the rebound and go. Show your athleticism, bringing the ball up the floor. Whether you're taking it to the hoop or you're pulling up, you know, be that guy that you were in February instead of just kind of going through the motions and just being a passenger. Lauri Markkanen is just another guy out there right now. And Lauri Markkanen was drafted not to be another guy. He was drafted to be something special. And the skill set is that of someone special. And now he's just another NBA guy out there. And that's the concerning part. So we saw it in February. We saw him offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, aggressive. We see the ball skills. We see what he does when he's dribbling the ball, whether it's in practice or whether we can, you know, at the end of practice, you just see what he does athletically. And it's like, dude, translate that to the game. And so, you know, they're going to throw the oblique out there now. I call BS on that. If you're playing and you're well enough to play, then that to me, that shouldn't be slowing down what your skill set was in all those 11 games in February and the end of January, where you showed what you can be. And that's an elite seven-footer, unicorn status. So to disappear like that and then just blame it on an oblique and also blame it on a new system and you trying to find your role, I'm not buying it. Something's up. Something's just not right with him. And until I get an exact answer, I'm not buying the excuses being said right now.
6 years in with Zach LaVine in his career, has he reached the limit of what he can be? Because I swear, Joe, like, I understand he can score. He's exciting when he's out in the open floor. I don't understand why he's not better defensively. And there are some times where I do question whether or not he's got the type of awareness that I want from a star player in certain game situations.
Well, you talk to some scouts that I've talked to have labeled him as he's just good enough to have you lose games. And other scouts think he's a great third piece on a good playoff team.
to make him your lead dog is kind of tough to me, just because you have, you know, I wrote this last week. You know, you traded Jimmy Butler, and you traded a two-way player, which is very – so you have Chris Dunn doing the defensive stuff coming off the bench. You have Lowry. I don't know what the hell he's doing right now. And you have Zach providing the offense. Well, Jimmy provided all that, plus a killer instinct in the fourth quarter of games. So to get all excited about how you jump-started this rebuild with those three guys combined, I don't think they're doing what Jimmy did and what Jimmy provides to a team. So and Zach is front and center in that. You are a great athlete. You have good on-the-ball defensive skills. Why do you continuously get lost when the ball goes away like a puppy who just follows the ball and loses your man continuously? I don't understand that. It's just fundamentally messed up how he doesn't know how to split the peripheral vision between ball and guy. And I mean, that's high school stuff. Instead, he just looks at the ball and loses his guy so often, you know, and he's cognizant of it. He even says it's a focus thing. He admitted that that's always been a problem of his. So, it should be better, you would think, and I do think his on-the-ball defense has been better this year, but that doesn't really translate when you're losing your guy and you're losing, you know, backside help and just basic things like that. So, you know, to me, he's not, and I think they even know that. That's why the focus is on 2021 and the summer of Giannis, when Kawhi's out there and Giannis is out there, LeBron. I mean, Paul George, you have a number of free agents that are out there in 21. And that would move Zach to that third spot, that third guy on a team if they can land one of those. But, you know, they're hoping that that he was going to take jumps where you can sell that to that type of player. And I don't know if you can right now. Like you said, I mean, how much room before that head hits the ceiling? I think we're kind of close.
Next week you're going to be my guest on House of L. We've already done the interview. Can you tell people why they should listen to it without getting me in trouble?
Not without getting you in trouble. No, I don't know. Did you go back and listen to it?
Yes.
Okay. Is it bad? I don't know. I thought it was a real hour, 10 minutes, or however long we talked.
I think it's a great conversation from between two friends. They work in the same industry. I do think that there's the possibility of some hurt feelings happening.
Oh well, suck it up, Buttercup. I don't know. You know, I don't know what to tell you. You know, hey. It's a big part of business. If you realize it, if I got hurt feelings every time someone said something about me,
I did like your quote that people eat what you kill.
Oh, that all these bloggers and all these people tell me what a piece of crap I am. That I hunt and kill so they can eat. Remember that I'm out there getting the story so you can write about it and still quote. I hunt and kill and see a lot of people. So as bad as I am, in some people's eyes, you don't want me out there, you want me on a different beat, that's fine. In Atlanta, I was the only reporter there. I was hunting and killing so a lot of people can eat. Appreciate that.
Joe, you're the best. I appreciate you.
All right, I'll talk to you, buddy.
That's Joe Cowley.
That's my guy, man.
He's on House of L next week, and I Ooh. Think we talked for an hour and 20 minutes, and he pulled no punches. And as I said, I'm going to be reaching out to people over this next week to let them know that they got punched, so that it's not a surprise when they hear the podcast. He was the white whale. That was the guy that I wanted on the podcast for a lot of reasons. And I got full Joe Cowley for House of L next week.
Was he eating soup in the interview in honor of one of his guys?
No, and he wasn't. He didn't rock the man bun in this particular interview.
Oh, that's the signature Joe Cowley.
Yeah, it's the new Cowley. I kind of like it. But we talked about a lot of stuff, man. We talked about him surviving cancer, which I think I'm trying to figure out if I want to move that to the front of the interview, because I do want people to like Joe as much as I like Joe. But it's going to be difficult.
I think that goes, it goes into him. Like, he, once you survive that, man, you...
He said that. Does not care.
Makes you a strong individual.
Does not care at all.
Did he beat the cancer, or did the cancer just tap out? Be like, I've had enough of this
guy. I've had enough of this guy. That's what I... When he came back, that's what I said to him. I was like, cancer was like, bleeping Cowley, man. I got to get out of this guy. This guy's ridiculous. He won't be beaten. He won't yield, ever.
No excuses.
Yeah, that's how he rolls. So next week, by the way, this week, it's a little different conversation that I have with Kinsey Kay, who's my counterpart over at B96. She's terrific, and her story is crazy how she got here. So House of L podcast, go search for it. I talk with people in the media. It's a different type of vibe, but you need to check out Kinsey. I talked with Sahadev a couple of weeks ago, Marcus Leshock. Trust me, you will dig it. But next week, for sure, just subscribe now because you'll want the Joe Cowley one like sent right to you. This segment is being brought to you by AutoZone. In search of a car battery that won't let you down, even in the lowest temperatures, you know, like today or yesterday, AutoZone has you covered. They have proven tough Duralast batteries that you need to plow through winter. They're tested in the most extreme conditions. Just visit AutoZone.com to learn more. I want to get back on football. I want to talk about the Bears. Rich Campbell was on earlier today, and there's some stuff that he said to Mullion Hall that you need to hear. We'll do that next on The Score. Before we get to some of the Bears conversation on the show, let's give away some Blackhawks tickets. Blackhawks are taking on... Oh, wait, no, this is Bulls tickets. Not. I thought it was Blackhawks. I'm trying to get us to a Blackhawks game. I thought the Blackhawks gave us tickets to give away. I was getting really excited. Hey, Blackhawks.
Bulls on the thing.
I know. I don't know why I thought it was Blackhawks. I said to you in the break, I was like, we want to go to this game? Not the Bulls game versus Detroit. Oh, it is Derrick Rose. I'll go see D-Rose if he's healthy. If you're caller six to the Scores contest line, which is 312-591-6700, we will give you a pair of tickets to see the Bulls versus Detroit at the United Center on November 20th, courtesy of 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls. We do need to get to a Blackhawks game, though. Why are you making that face?
What? No, I was nodding in agreement.
All right,
we
good.
Do need to, you know.
We need to do that.
Yeah.
As a show, we should go see the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. Will, we're coming.
Brothers for Hockey
and
Rick Camp.
And Rick Camp.
Every camp in studio.
At whatever it takes. He's white chocolate. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. If you want to ride the Zamboni, like Tony does, on the ice during intermission of a Chicago Wolves game, sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. We are winners. We are the Wolves. This morning, got my 6 miles in, which is great. And I was listening to Mullion Hall on my way to the gym. And they had Rich Campbell on. And Rich Campbell and Dan Wiederer did that great piece in the Tribune about the drafting of Mitchell Trubisky. There's some nuggets in there, man. Some really cool stuff. So we pulled them out and we wanted to share them with you to get more context from the story. I highly recommend that you read the story. But if you don't like to read or can't read, Rich was on earlier today, and he explained what his biggest issue was in the research that they did, his biggest issue with Ryan Pace and the Bears.
I think the main lesson that I took away from it was that I wasn't sure that they were early, they were so out on Watson early in the process. Like, they just didn't put him through the same type of get to know you process with the private workout and the dinner that they did with Mitch Trubisky and Pat Mahomes. And so you look at why Watson is succeeding in Houston. His college career speaks for itself. It's a terrific, you know, career. Two-time Davey O'Brien Award winner. It was for the best quarterback in college football, national champion, beat Alabama on a final drive. If you're determined to draft a quarterback, why are you not doing your full due diligence or the same due diligence as you were on the other two guys? Now, the Bears will say that they obviously were comfortable with their evaluation, that Watson, they had durability concerns with his frame and the fact that he was carrying injuries into the NFL, previous knee injuries. He got hurt early in his career, which seemed to validate those. And he threw 17 interceptions his final season, despite winning the national championship. So the Bears were not alone in thinking that Mitch Trubisky was the best. But for me, I could look at Mahomes and easily compartmentalize, okay, the Chiefs had a great structure for him. Credit to the Chiefs and the infrastructure they had built. The Bears were lagging way behind that in terms of head coach and front office synergy. But with Watson, that's the one where I feel like we need more answers from Ryan about why they just were not interested so early in the process.
You want me to go full conspiracy theorist on this, Tony? Want to play a fun game where I go conspiracy theorist instead of you?
I'm here for it.
Okay. Who liked Deshaun Watson in the Bears front office?
John Fox.
And Dave Ragone, the quarterback coach. Now, he's still here. John Fox is gone. Is it possible that they completely ignored what the coach wanted because they clearly wanted the coach to fail the next year so they'd have all the ammunition that they wanted to move along from John Fox? Because I could make an argument that a Deshaun Watson-led team in 2017 wins more games and looks more promising than the Mike Glennon-Mitchell Trubisky combination. If you want to go full conspiracy on this, that once John Fox says, I like Deshaun Watson, in Ryan Pace's mind, he's like, la, 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 and is not going to sit down with Deshaun Watson.
That's even a little far for me.
Not for me.
Well, just not with this front office. To pick your franchise quarterback out of spite for the current head coach?
What other explanation is there for not sitting down with Deshaun Watson? I mean, there are others. Trust me. I get them all the time at the barbershop, and I've heard them start to slowly creep onto the Score airwaves. Why is my conspiracy any less possible? That the coach was like, I like that guy. He's like, nah, screw you, because you're not going to be here much longer.
The only thing is that is a lot of money paid to Mike Glennon for a failed job. That's a lot of money that he wasted.
Yeah, $20 million. They were pumped about it. Ryan Pace was pumped about giving that guy $20 million. His quarterbacks that he's brought in, Glennon, Trubisky, Chase Daniel, Tyler Bray.
Draft one every year.
And you're going to trust him to look through Tua and Justin Herbert and Jacob Fromm and Jacob, you're going to trust him to look through all these guys?
Well, no, because they don't have a first-round pick.
Well, they've got two twos that they could turn into a one. I'm just saying that.
I don't know. That second two is moving down every day.
It is. It is.
Sixth easiest schedule the rest of the way.
It's
Oakland.
It's moving down every single day. But, hey, they might win on Sunday, though. That's good. I think. Back after this on the Score. Some texts are like, hey, Lawrence, you forgot about Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley. I'm like, you're right. And with Hoyer, what they should have done is given Brian Hoyer $7 million instead of Mike Glennon $20 million. And for the people who are like, his name is pronounced Glennon, go away. Because we're talking about Hard Knocks and what his coach now calls him. And he calls him Glennon.
Not if you agree with me.
Tonight, the Miller Lite Top Draft Show is going down. It's going to be at Glasscott's. Oh, baby, it's a home game. DePaul, baby, right there on the corner of Webster and Halsted. So you can go see Joe Ostrowski. I highly recommend that you do. He does a great show here on The Score. He'll be on from 7 until 10, and Lance Briggs is going to join him for the first 90 minutes of the show. So they're going to be at Glasscott's tonight.
Lovie Smith is going to be on, too, with Lance.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's big time.
Yeah, he's coming on with all his former players.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny we couldn't find him. But either way, he's going to a bowl game. Big time now. Enjoy the broadcast and enter for your chance to win Bears tickets. So go to Glasscott's tonight and go see Joe Ostrowski and Lance Briggs. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk with McNeil and Parkins about all sorts of stuff next here on The Score.
We'll be right back. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.